Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 27th of July, recording at 9 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, a good many of the China-related markets are still closed, as they will be all week, due to the New Year holiday. But where markets were open, we saw generally a firmer tone, and that included Australia, up 3%, and the Japanese Nikkei index up nearly 5%. It's an upward dynamic following a fairly persistent, albeit orderly, slide. Yeah, European stock markets were mixed, but they recovered, well, mostly unchanged or close to unchanged, but they recovered from more significant weakness earlier in the day. And Wall Street is closed out with modest gains of just over 1% for the S&P and the NASDAQ Composite Index, so slightly less for the Dow. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, which have been under some pressure of late, saw a firmer tone in here today, particularly the U.S. 30-year Treasury bond futures, which are up 1.75 points as I speak. The U.S. dollar index is a little lower here today. We saw some short covering in sterling up to 141.64, about unchanged on the euro. Some of the resources currencies are a bit firmer here today. Metals, most commodities weakened in here today. They were quite strong on Friday and extended some of those gains on Monday and gave some of it up in here today. March silver is down 16 ticks, trading at 1195. Gold bullion has eased back below 900. It's currently at 898.35 as I speak. Copper, which had a good day on the upside today, but it gave up most of those gains here today. So we're still getting a little bit of choppy volatility. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the prognosis following the short-term oversold condition achieved by 3 weeks of pretty well steady, if not spectacular, declines from the October, November to January range highs, which were seen pretty much on the 2nd of January, down to the November lows in many instances, and in a few instances actually new lows. Now, that oversold condition I described last week is setting up the conditions for at least a dead cat bounce. In other words, at least a pause and some ranging near those, in the region of those November lows, but that we would need to see some upward dynamics and or a persistent move back up into the upper middle of those ranges to remain consistent with base formation development. Now, we've had some small upward dynamics. A dynamic is always relative to the prior action. In other words, if you look at the chart of the Nikkei stock average, for instance, it had been coming down very steadily, but in sort of small dribs and drabs. And today it rallied nearly 5%. So relative to the prior decline, today's action is an upward dynamic. And it would require a close below yesterday's low or last week's low to offset a scope for some further recovery following that dynamic. In other words, technically I'd back the dynamic, particularly as in this instance it's occurred against the background of a short-term oversold condition due to the persistence of the previous decline over 3 weeks or so. So we're still in the ranges for most of these indices, but would need to see a better recovery, again, to remain consistent with base formation development. Now, at the risk of complicating this discussion, it would not be impossible for indices to go a bit lower in here without opening the door to another Voss drop, which is what many people actually fear. I'm certainly not sanguine about anything. This is still a risky, tricky environment in here, dominated by bad news, as we know. But the sell-off into October and early November was so climactic that has always, as we said at the time, had always created the environment for arranging reversion to the mean in terms of the still declining 200-day moving averages. And that was something that we forecast to carry well into the first quarter of this year. Now, those ranges, a few of them have an upward bias. They're mainly in Asia and South America. Some of them, Brazil, China, among the big names. Some of them have a downward bias. They're mainly U.S. or European. And some of them are sort of dead flat sideways. But this is an environment where once the base formation activity is underway, and I still maintain that there's at least a 50% chance that it is underway, that it would be a lengthy convalescence. That means a fair amount of ranging activity. Now, if this global recession does not bottom in 2009, then I'll almost certainly be too optimistic regarding stock market performance. And the normal discounting time, well, I think it would be stretching it. I think the previous biggest, longest lead, according to Sir John Templeton, was 11 months between a stock market turn up and evidence that the economy had actually bottomed. So in other words, stock markets almost always turn up. Well, they have always turned up before the evidence that a recession has ended becomes apparent. And I would expect no difference in that this time. Overall, when it's all said and done, there are attractive markets, there are high yield markets, there are low valuation markets. The best are among emerging markets. There are outstanding individual assets among individual developed country stock markets that we talk about from time to time. But I wouldn't pay up for anything in this environment, as I've said repeatedly. I would only buy on setbacks because of the ranging base formation activity. And if one is nibbling on weakness, it would pay to keep some powder dry still. And it would also probably pay to lighten on the rallies. That's the type of environment that we are in, or those are the tactics for the type of environment that we are actually in. If those U.S. Treasury bonds get a decent rally, I think they would certainly that would certainly present a shorting opportunity, and ditto some of these other bond markets. But with all the talk of quantitative easing and with the economic news still very, very weak, I'm in no hurry to establish those short positions. In other words, top guessing is exciting stuff, but it may be more prudent to wait until we see downward trends established in those bond prices. The US dollar index eased a little bit in here today. After its downward dynamic yesterday, it does look vulnerable to a decline. I do think that the dollar is probably a sell in here at this at these levels. I would expect at least some short-term weakening, and probably the yen as well. Now, that outlook would almost certainly change if stock markets were to take out last week's lows and resume downward trends. But at the moment, there's a better than 50% chance, in my view, that we get somewhat steadier stock market action. And there, against that background, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the dollar and the yen and ease. When they strengthen, I don't think it's because of flight to quality. I think it's because we're seeing further and a further unwinding of carry trades as part of the overall asset deleveraging game. And elsewhere, in terms of precious metals, now they're probably going to remain choppy, but I do think that I think what we're seeing here is in the depressed ones, such as silver and particularly platinum, we're seeing base formation development, and gold, which is lower beta but has led in terms of relative strength, remains really quite steady against all currencies, and that suggests to me that it will range higher, possibly erratically so, as volatility remains above norm for pretty well all financial instruments. And that's not surprising because investors are nervous. Volume is generally fairly light. It creates a sort of skittish environment, doesn't it? And I think that's it here for another day. Read the Madoff piece from Bloomberg. You may feel you've read too much about all this, and some of it will, if you've read a fair amount, some of it will be repeats from other things you've seen, but it's a good primer for how to avoid being scammed, and for that reason I commend it to all of you. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.